Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:48 p.m. That is London summer time, and today is August. Excuse me, October 4th, and I'm just back from Devon, having paid a pilgrimage to the market guru. David is in much better form, having well, he's made a staged really quite an impressive recovery over the last few weeks following what was a very traumatic few months after some heart problems. So he's in much better form, and he passes on his best regards to all subscribers. But I thought I would kick off the audio today and the video talking about China, because China is an integral part of the global economy, and not least because it has added such an enormous amount of liquidity to global markets, not least its own market, over the last decade. And the fact that it is now reducing reserve requirements for the banking sector is an indication that while they may be tightening in some parts of the economy, it's certainly not universal, and that on a net-net basis, we can probably conclude that China is still easing, or at least not tightening. And the fact that they're reducing those reserve requirements is positive for the banking sector. So the Hong Kong financials, which is made up of primarily of mainland Chinese banks and insurance companies, moved on to a new recovery high in here today, and it is surmounting that 4,000 level, which has been an important area of psychological resistance since 2008. So this is looking really quite positive. Then when we look at, for example, the H share index, which is the China excuse me, enterprises index, then we get a pretty similar story. This has been marching higher in a very consistent manner, one step above another since early 2016, and this continues to remain the case. It was also an impressive day for India today, and we had a pretty impressive bounce back from the lower side of the range that's been growing now for the last couple of months, and it is pushing back up towards this 10,000 level. It's not at all surprising that we get a somewhat larger, somewhat longer consolidation in the region of such a big psychological level. I've just been perusing this report on India, and I'll post it tomorrow from Morgan Stanley, which is really quite bullish, and not least because of the digital economy and the digitization program that India is following. And it's just a further iteration of this technological innovation trend that we're seeing. I'm certainly focusing on that in the commentary this week, but it isn't something that veteran subscribers will be alien to, since we've been preaching from the same songbook now for what feels like an awfully long time. And with that in mind, it's worth considering the NASDAQ 100, which surmounted the 6,000 level on the future in here today, and was just above it for a little while in intraday, but is closing less than 2 points away from 6,000 as we are now just 9 minutes from the close. And to me, at least, all other considerations to the side, this looks like a bullish consolidation, and the most likely scenario is that we are going to break on the upside. And when we look at the S&P 500, then it's a similar story. It's been putting on day after day, consecutive days of incremental advances. And when we look at the consistency of the trend since November of last year, then we can see that there is one step above another, that generally speaking, when you get a breakout, you get a rally of approximately 100 points. So we are considering that the upper side of the underlying range was just below 2,500, and we're now at 2,537, that there's probably a little bit more to go. That generally speaking, when it pulls back by less than 100 points, and the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. So this is really quite a consistent advance. And when we look at Europe, then the Euro Stoxx index had pulled back in a moderate fashion for much of the summer, but has staged a pretty impressive rally. It was a little bit weaker in here today, as it is now in the region of its May peak, so we may get some pause and consolidation. But the most important thing, of course, that it's done is broken that downward bias from that May peak. So it's looking increasingly likely that this is likely to be a relatively mild consolidation, and that the 400 level will get taken out. And when we look at the Euro stocks on a much longer term basis, then it has been a serial laggard. And of course, we know why it has lagged everywhere so badly. It's because there is a governance deficit. There is all of these problems with the socialization of private sector debts that have pushed so many countries into rather extreme circumstances. And the euro has staged this very impressive rally while the majority of European stock markets have been in this consolidation phase. The fact that the euro has been somewhat weaker over much of September has helped to stoke investor interest in nominal terms in those European equities, and they have rallied more than the euro has pulled back. The euro was in mildly positive territory in here today, but it continues to look like a consolidation following and a very impressive advance over the much of the last 3 months in particular. And when we look at that on the weekly chart, we can see that there is lateral resistance around that 115 area. The price is currently at 117.60, so there is potentially some additional consolidation that may go on in here. And again, it's not particularly surprising that we get at least some consolidation in the region of that psychological 120 level. But when we flip it around and look at the dollar index, the dollar index has been falling for just about all of this year. It failed to sustain the move above 100, and then it moved to a new reaction low. Well, it is now staging what looks at least to be a mean reversion rally. If it can get back above that 95 area and hold it, well, then we have conditions that would suggest we have a failed downside break. So it's rather interesting to see what's going to happen in this environment. But any indication of dollar weakness should be beneficial for the precious metals. So the fact that the dollar paused in here today initially saw gold rallying, but it wasn't quite able to hold it. What we would probably need to light a fire back under those precious metals is for some more substantive dollar weakness, and so far we haven't yet seen that, and it certainly is for the bulls to prove in here. These precious metals are volatile, and they are prone to overshooting. We've seen that on the upside, and we've seen it on the downside. They are best bought following reactions. This is a reaction, so it's probably going to set us up for an attractive entry opportunity, but there's no evidence just yet that that reaction has in fact ended. I've seen a number of reports and news items about asteroid mining and how that would crater the platinum price. And I think without us ever mining an asteroid, the platinum price has already cratered, because people are considering that with electric vehicles there won't be any need for catalytic converters. But platinum is back around this $900 area, and that represents the lower side of the range for this year. And certainly it was lower than that in 2016, but this does represent a potential area of support as it comes back towards that $900 area. Now, it wasn't quite able to hold its advance in here today, so it might need some additional evidence for investors to really get behind it. But we are coming back into an interesting area for some of these precious metals. And in the soft commodities sector, sugar really did stand out in here today. It was up 10, and it has been trending lower in a very persistent manner since February. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, then we are coming back towards the region of the 2015 lows. We're not quite there yet, but there has been a loss of momentum. There is an oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and there is certainly the potential for a reversionary rally, but it will first need to break the progression of lower rally highs. And then when we look at other commodities like corn, for example, which really have been just completely off the radar from the perspective of investors, then there's little evidence just yet that more than short-term support has been found. But this has already been an almost 3-year base formation, and eventually it will sustain a move above $4, and then we will have another one of these impressive rallies, similar to what we saw back in 2010. But there's no evidence just yet that that is in fact materializing. And when we look at the oil market, I'm posting a rather interesting report in here today about the declining cost per barrel due to technology in the shale oil sector, and a lot of it is based upon refracking. And refracking is something that people have been experimenting with for a couple of years, and they were very cautious about it at the beginning because they were worried that it would damage the reserve profile. But they've gathered enough information that it's being modeled, and the answer is that that refracking is viable, and it massively increases the resource size, because once you have drilled the well, you can go back and refrack it. In other words, you can just explode different parts of the drill hole, and that revitalizes the well without having to drill new holes. And that's incredibly important because it massively reduces the cost of bringing these previously drilled wells back to their full capacity. And of course, that also means that it brings down the average cost of production, but it also allows the unconventional oil and gas suppliers to be highly elastic in terms of how they bring and when they bring their production to market. So prices are up here around $60, and news items are indicating that hedging activity is going on once more, just like it did back in January. So that is helping to for helping prices to pull back. The wild card, of course, is what OPEC is going to do. This refracking and unconventional oil is a work in progress, and the potential for growth is still there. But of course, because it is expensive and because there is a lot of money at stake, and people will need quite a lot of evidence before the requisite capital is put to work. So it's a medium-term story. But when we think about the Saudi Arabian IPO, then Saudi Arabia wants the oil price to be higher by the middle of 2018 when they go for that IPO, and that would suggest that we are going to be in for some volatility. It wasn't at all surprising that we get some consolidation around that $60 area. The price has stabilized over the last few days, and the progression of higher reaction lows is relatively intact. And so far, this reaction is pretty similar to the one that we saw in August. So, as long as the size of the reaction is a It stays at around this level, which is maybe a little bit less than $5, then the potential for the consolidation to just go sideways for a while and then break above 60 is probably still intact. And it has broken the downward bias evidence since the beginning of this year. So I think there is potential here for oil prices to move higher through to the end of the year, but I think the more likely scenario in the next 3 or 4 weeks is for some additional consolidation. And natural gas prices, again, have been somewhat off the radar, but they do give us I think, a template for what we can expect from oil prices, that we will get occasional spikes higher, and but by and large, we are going to have very volatile ranging. And that's likely to be the case for the foreseeable future. Then I think The other markets that really are worth keeping a very close eye on are bonds, because 2-year yields have been, I think if we took the labels off the chart, we'd say it's a bull market. And that certainly looks to be what is likely, that we're going to have higher yields. And that does represent a conundrum for not just the Federal Reserve, which is running down the size of its balance sheet, but also in the high yield sector, where there are going to be a substantial number of bonds that need to be rolled over, or at least to be refinanced over the course of the next few years. And if interest rates continue to rise, then they're going to be refinanced at rates well above where they were taken out originally, and that represents an additional cost for corporations. And that's not really a particular worry for large corporations like Apple and Google and Microsoft, that have been issuing a lot of debt, not least so that they can repatriate their foreign earnings in the form of debt rather than dividends. They have ample cash flow and cash in reserve that they can pay back that debt with, but that may not be the case with high yield. And high yield spreads are so very narrow that when they do start to move higher, and it is inevitable that they will eventually start to move higher, then that is something that could be a lead indicator for the next recession. So that is just one more thing to keep an eye on. Whereas in the meantime, there's no evidence of contraction. The fact that China is reducing reserve requirements on banks means that there will be even more money flowing into the global economy. And as long as we're presented with consistent trends, then we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. That the news headlines are full of things to worry about, but there's only a small number of things that really need to be monitored in terms of the negative outlook, because they are reliable lead indicators rather than conjecture. And none of the things that we keep an eye on for potential contractionary lead indicators are flashing red at all. One of the things that David and I talked about was the complexion of the market and the fact that we are still in a secular bull market. That is quite different from the condition that we had all the way from 2000 through to about 2013, where the market was generally range bound and punctuated by two swingeing pullbacks. There is no secular bull market isn't punctuated by the occasional cyclical bear market. And even in an environment where we do get a recession at some point in the future, it's likely to be a cyclical bear market, not a secular bear market that unfolds, which will create an incredible buying opportunity for the investors that are willing to recognize that we are in a secular bull market. I think that is perhaps the most important point, that we are looking at the market from a top-down perspective, then we're looking at the most attractive markets, we're looking at the markets that have got the best governance, the best thematic, the ones that are influenced most heavily by the clearest bullish themes, and then within each sector, looking at shares that have got the best chart patterns. And that's generally speaking the way that we look at markets. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today. I'll wish all the best to all of you.